I started singing as soon as I started breathing. I sang night and day for anyone, anywhere. My parents would send me out to wait for the ice cream man just to have some peace.
My father bought me a guitar on my 6th birthday with the hope that I would learn to play the Italian songs from the old country and do duets with my sister who played accordion, and then we can entertain our family and friends on Sunday get-togethers after church.
In 4th grade, everybody got the opportunity to try out for choir. When it was my turn, the choir teacher asked me to sing a scale and then a little song that all the other kids sang. When I was finished, she just sat there staring at me and said, "Do your parents know about this?"
As I got older, I wanted to play other instruments besides the guitar. I became much more interested in the song and the arrangement and all of its parts. So I learned to play piano and drums. I think I was about 10 or 11 at the time.
I spent the next 3 years in junior high choir preparing to be with Georgia Rule, who was the high school choir teacher. She became my mentor. She was tough. She was a taskmaster. She taught me everything I needed to know about being a good worker and a great singer. No one ever asked me to be quiet again.
Uncle Tim helped me form my first rock and roll band when I was 14. He was the lead singer. I was a basic four-piece band. We would play bars and clubs, and he would sneak me in through the back door because I was underage and I couldn't get in otherwise.
I was going to be a classical singer, schooled, perfected, and successful. There was just one tiny little problem. I loved rock and roll and pop music. In my senior year, my boyfriend, fiancé, got drafted and decided to enlist in the Army. I panicked and married him. I was working at a bank, living with someone I didn't love. No Juilliard, no college, no more singing. I quit my job and went back to New York and started singing again.
I did the Cleveland Bar Band circuit with various bands until February of 1978. I just turned 22 years old. I had an opportunity to audition for the Rick Derringer Band in New York City. I think there were over 200 guitar players or so that came for the audition, many of which I heard coming through the door as I was waiting to take my turn. I was convinced there was no way I was going to get that gig. They were so, so good. I wouldn't have a chance, you know, but I got lucky. My life changed dramatically. Overnight, it seemed, I went from playing to a few hundred people to thousands.
After 2 years of playing all over New York, in 1978, I played a showcase at a club called Tramps. The New York Post wrote a glowing review, and that next night, every record company came down to see the show. I signed with Chrysalis Records and started making a record soon after, but it still didn't feel right. Something was missing.
With Derringer, we toured all of 1978, and in the beginning of 1979, went to Woodstock, New York, and recorded a record ironically called Guitars and Women.
I realized that what I wanted was a partner, like Robert Plant and Jimmy Page and Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. I didn't want to be the girl singer in front of a faceless band. But they still weren't getting it.
When recording with Derringer had finished, I was on my way back to my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. Phone rang in the studio, and the person came out and said, there's a phone call for you.
He scrapped the first attempt, and Mike Chapman and Peter Coleman were called it. I sat down with Mike and explained once again what I was trying to accomplish. Mike said, "I've got your guy."
And the person on the phone said, there's a singer that just got signed to a record deal in New York and was looking for a guitar player slash partner to form a rock and roll band.
He's 22. He's playing with Rick Derringer right now. He's perfect.
The person also said he heard of me while I was on the road with Derringer and said I would be perfect. Perfect, I said. Damn, I hope I can live up to that. Damn.
He's a great guitar player, songwriter, arranger, and he's good looking. His name, Neil Giraldo.
Then I said, what's his name? Maybe I heard of him. It's not a him, it's a her. Her name? Pat Benatar. Then I said, is she good looking? Oh my God, how is this gonna work? And on that day,
May of 1979,
my life changed again.
We met.
The rest, history.
History.
We'll be right back. Just survive. fun, so we're really happy to be back to see y'all again. And we've been out here for a few weeks with Melissa. Isn't she amazing? Amazing. And we've been having a really great time. And we are also in the middle of our own 2016 We Live for Love tour. So welcome. And for those of you that come all the time, you know that we have been celebrating anniversaries lately, quite a few. And this year we are celebrating our 37th musical anniversary. And then, of course, Spider and I are celebrating our 34th wedding anniversary this year. Of course, I was only 12. But back in 1979, when we first met, we put the band together. We were really young. Spider was just turning 23, and I was just turning 26. And we put the band together, you know, we were in love. It was a new thing. We were having a great time. So we started to write songs right away. But I have to tell you that it was a little bit awkward, a little bit creepy and weird to write about your personal stuff and then sing it in front of everybody. So we made a decision that we would only write observational songs. That meant we were writing about all y'all. All of our friends, anybody we saw on TV, things we read in the newspaper, anything to avoid writing about ourselves. But then as time went on, we got a little bit older, a little bit more secure. We did in fact start to write songs about our personal relationship. And the next one that we're gonna do is the very first one.
Ah.
of attack has been planned to fight back with Jesus. A restless dream, a perfect one and Lord. On the air, the where it's seen, it's where we'll come. Just when you think you slide it down,
everyone. Buffaloians. Yes. Yeah. Hey, we got a beautiful night tonight.
It's been so hot. We've been playing every night outside and we have been just drenched. So this is really nice and we're really enjoying this. I'm happy for you too.
See, we entered here yesterday. And we were hiding out a little bit, and we woke up and we saw this big dark cloud, and we kept thinking, we got rain coming, we're going to get rained out tomorrow, but you know, the gods of rock and roll decided it wasn't going to rain today. That's just how it goes. That just won't happen. Anyway, thanks for inviting us to your party tonight, and we're going to hit you with a few acoustic songs that we do. Yeah. We've been doing a duo show performance, Patricia and I. It's almost like a performing arts thing where we do all our songs. We give you a backstory on them. We do behind the music. We tell you about how we wrote them, how we produced them, and how we did all that stuff, you know. So we're going to get into that just a little bit. We got a few songs like that for you. So we're going to start off with a song from a record we did called Innamorata. Innamorata.
Do you have any Italians here? So Innamorata means beloved in Italian.
That's right. So here's how it goes. A little story behind this. As a producer, which that's primarily my position in our life. I don't know if many of you people know that or not. My world is really the studio, either writing, arranging, producing. That's what I do. And sometimes you go in the studio and things work out. And other times you go in there and you do too much and you ruin a song. I've done that too, you know. So this next song we're going to do it just like we wrote it. And I believe the best version of the song exists just like we do it right now. I think when we made the record, I added too many things. I thought it was a good idea. It was a bad idea. Sometimes that happens, you know, in life you make a bad mistake. But anyway, I got some good ones coming up too. But anyway, this song we call In These Times, we hope you like it. It goes like this.
What's the use in staying when everything's a lie? I know what you're saying, it makes me wanna cry. You know the truth is overrated, that should come as no surprise. It's all so complicated, especially in these times. Don't it make you crazy? Don't it make you ask yourself why? Like a puzzle, best to close the edges first, work back to the middle, to the places where it hurts. Lately I've been thinking, maybe there's a chance for us. If we take it slow now and don't expect too much, don't it make you crazy? Don't it make you ask yourself why? What's the use in staying?
Time for a little water.
Let me see that cup.
That's really good water. So good. This water's so good that if we continue to drink this water, we're going to play all night for sure.
No, we are. Obviously, he's forgotten how old I am.
Oh, boy. All right. Okay, we've been doing this next song as a tribute to who I thought was a brilliant songwriter, a great composer, a great producer, a great musician, great singer, great everything. And the unfortunate situation that happened is this person passed away this year and joined the great rock and roll band up there in in the heavens. Now, especially to me, looking at it as a producer, when you go in the studio and you try to make records, you try to make them unique and interesting and different. Well, this cat did it all, man. Every time a new song would come out, it always would sound like the best thing you've ever heard in your life, and it was always different. So here's our little tribute to this person.
Just leave me standing down, alone in a world that's so cold. Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father, too bold. Maybe I'm just like my mother, 'cause she's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when girls cry.
This is one of your very favorites, ours too. It also happens to be part of the Holy 14. Do y'all know what the Holy 14 is? The Holy 14 are the 14 songs that we must try to play some of every night, or you give me shit on Facebook.
Okay, so now we're going to put you behind the music on this song. So it goes like this. First of all, I'd like to say, are there any young people out there that are aspiring musicians? Well, that's pretty good. All right. Are there a bunch of people out there that just love great music? Okay, here's a little story. I'll try to keep it short for y'all. Going into the studio to make a hit record, I believe in four things. Number one, you have to have a great lyric. The song is very important. The lyric has to connect to each and every one of you. It's got to mean something important. Number two, you have to have a great melody, a melody that sticks in your head. It's easy to sing, that you can repeat over and over again. That's very important. And number three, which is really, really important as well, is a treatment. A treatment is how fast it is, the tempo it is, the parts you play, the ghost in the song. All those things are very important. These little things that go on in records that a lot of you don't know what really goes on in there, but they're special and important. If you take those things out, you lose the chi of the song. So that's really, really important. So I'm going to go to number four in a minute, but here's how it goes. 1985, we were making a record called Tropical. Yeah. And I was in the control room, and I had a keyboard, and I played one chord on this keyboard, and I had this little box called the Super Prime Time. And I took the Super Prime Time on one side of it, I changed all these little levels. On the other side, I changed the other thing. So I created all these repeats in this rhythm. And it was a pretty wild, crazy rhythm. But I knew I had something special because I really knew I could build a song from this. And I felt really, really strong that this would really work. Am I allowed to swear here? Okay. All right, so anyway, I really was feeling good about this song, so I called Patricia and the band into the studio and said, hey, I want you all to listen to this because I think it's going to be great. I think we're going to be able to make a great song from this. Check it out. And I played it for them, and they said, you're fucking crazy.
We did.
They said that. They said that a lot. So here's the deal. The other number four is this. If you listen back to our songs and the singles and the hits that we had out there in the catalog, you will notice that they start very identifiable. It's very, very important that that very first note is a note that you know, and every time you hear it on the radio, you know exactly what that song is. This was super, super important to me because I really believe that the intro of every song really sets you up. It's like a foundation. You really had to know what's going on. So here we go. I guarantee you'll know exactly what this song is from the very first note.
Many times I tried to tell you, many times I cried alone. Always I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you, I've missed it too much time to give you up that easy. Two doubts to complicate your mind. We belong to the light, we belong to the fire. We belong to the sound of the words, we look for it. I don't know what to say. Maybe I just wouldn't know what to do with my strength anyway. Have we become a habit? Do we need to sort the fires? Now there's no looking forward. Now there's no turning back. We belong to the light, we belong to the fire. To try and wash the palette clean. We can begin to know how much we really care. I hear your voice inside me. I see your face everywhere. We belong to the light, to the fire.
So a lot of these songs that we're playing for you tonight were written a very long time ago. And this next song in particular was written way back in 1980. It was during one of the times when we were actually in New York, in Manhattan, and we were working on the record and we were writing songs. And while we were there, an article came out in the New York Times. And it was an expose on child abuse in America. Now, we were all pretty young at the time. Some of us were just in our mid-20s and late 20s, and we had all pretty much come from loving families with good parents. So it was pretty shocking to us when we read this article. But we got right down to it, and we started to write words. When we were finished with the words, we gave them to Spider, and we asked him if he could make it into a song. And we weren't really sure how he was going to do that, considering the content of the lyrics. But somehow, he did. And he took his guitar and he made it cry and scream and feel all the pain that we had written in those words. We play this song every time we play because it's important. We play it in solidarity with the children across the world who are at risk. It is our hope and our prayer that someday, very soon, we will never have to play this song again.
Such a mess.
Hell, hell is the truth.
Okay, so I don't know how sick to death you are of all this politics and crap, but we're not going to talk about it tonight because we're going to just have a little respite from all of that. But this next song is just this one little tiny bit. It's about brotherhood. And I know y'all understand that, so we're just going to play, put our hands together, and have some good cheese. Let's go. Stories to tell.
And on occasion, it has been suggested to me that sometimes my stories are a little long. So tonight, I'm going to abbreviate the story. And it goes like this. 1981. Oklahoma. Crappy motel. Cable. Second video ever played on MTV. First guitar player to ever play on MTV.
Behind the music story before we stop telling stories. All right, so here, this simple thing. 37 years have went by so quick, you know, just like that. And we made a lot of records during that period of time. And I locked myself in the studio. That's kind of what I did. I had a great time in there, but I let myself out of the cage, I called it, and I went out and made some records for some other folks as well, like some records for Kenny Loggins and John Waite and Beth Hart. Del Lords and Stephen Bishop, Stephen Forbes, a bunch of people. And 1981, we finished a record called Precious Time. And we had 12, 14 days off. And I received a phone call from someone, and he said, Hey, Spider, I know you got the time off. Would you like to come to the studio with me, play guitars, make a bunch of racket, you know, do what you do? I said, yeah, sure, I got some time to do it. So I went in and did it. This is one of the songs we did. You may have heard of it. It went like this.
Now Jesse is a friend, and he's always been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed, and ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl, and I want to make him my girl.
Okay, so this is how the deal goes. If you make a record with somebody, and it goes to number one and wins a Grammy, you become like really, really good friends with them. I mean, like really good friends. Now, Ricky Springfield was the person that called me up, and that's Rick's song, and we went in and made a record that way. So anyway, he lives in the same town as we do, and I get a call a lot of time. I'm in the studio, I get a call, the phone rings, I pick up the phone, I say, hello, it goes, hi. I go, who's this? Ricky boy. I go, hey, Rick, how you doing? What are you doing? Want to go hang out? I want to. Okay, let's go hang out, I guess. So we go, we have breakfast in our favorite place. We come out, there's five screaming girls. Kind of five screaming girls out front of this restaurant. Yeah. So we walk out. The girls say, hey, Rick, can we get a photo with you? And your dad could be in the picture, too. How did I become Rick Springfield's father all of a sudden? What the hell happened? All right, so, but here's the deal. This is how karma works. So if you're ever walking down the street and you see Rick there, you can just yell at him and go, hey, Rick. You didn't really play on that song, did you? That was Spider that did that. So, see, you can do that to him. Yeah. And the other thing is, if you want to talk to him directly, I have his phone number. I'll give it to you if you want to call him up. No, I can't do that. But here's a song about an angry woman, you know, real one. Goes like this, nice and quiet. Watch it. One, two, nice and quiet.
Yeah.
forever. So we're going to do one more. And before we do that, let me introduce these gavones up here. On bass, please say hi to Mr. Mick Mahan right there. And then back behind me on drums, Mr. Chris Rollis. I want to thank you all for coming out. Every time we come here, we have such a great time. So good to see you, always. And I guess I will say what I always say when I close. Be good to one another. Be sweet to your children. Please do not drink and drive. Please do not text and drive, ever. And come see us again, yeah.
Me.